HarperCollins and Harper Audio present Unraveling, What I Learned About Life While Shearing Sheep, Dyeing Wool, and Making the World's Ugliest Sweater by Peggy Orenstein. This is Peggy Orenstein. A note before we begin. For notes on the text and a list of additional reading materials, don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider, or go directly to harpercollins.com/pages/unraveling. In memory of Beatsy Orenstein, ILFMM, and in memory of Mel Orenstein, because I also LFMD. It may be that when we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work. Wendell Berry. Introduction. From sheep to sweater. Sheep don't look like they'd be slippery. It turns out, though, that they secrete a waxy substance called lanolin that weatherproofs their fleece. It's the same stuff that's in a lot of cosmetics, moisturizers, lip balms, and in the ointment nursing moms slather on cracked nipples. That means that when you try to hang on to one, it slides. The ewe currently wedged belly up against my legs is no exception. Weighing in at around 140 pounds, she is wriggling like a greased-up toddler. A greased-up toddler with hooves. Did I mention that I'm holding a rapidly whirring electric clipper in my right hand? Its blades, which have no safety guard, are sharp enough to sever my finger, or maybe worse, slice open a major artery on the animal. My arms are glistening with sweat from wrestling the sheep into position. My back already aches, and my COVID mask is stifling me. Learning to shear sheep during the pandemic seemed like a bit of a lark, a way to tap into the romance and resilience of an earlier age, to connect with something enduring when life had become so precarious, to better understand, as a lifelong knitter, where my fiber came from, to get out of my house. Why the hell couldn't I have stuck to sourdough, I think to myself, as I look down at the giant ball of wool beneath me, raise my hand, grit my teeth, and prepare to plunge in. This was certainly not where I imagined myself at the beginning of 2020. In early January, I published a book on boys, masculinity, and sexuality, a follow-up to one I'd written about girls. I was on a national tour in a different city every day, doing media spots, meeting hundreds of people at book signings, lining up a roster of speaking engagements for the upcoming spring and fall. The pace was exhausting, exhilarating. I'd worked for decades to get here, to have this platform, this reach, to feel like my ideas were making an impact. In the midst of it all, a friend back in California texted me an emoji, the one that looks like the face in Edvard Munch's The Scream, along with the words, COVID-19. I had no idea what she was referring to. A couple of months later, things had changed. On March 9th, a Monday, I dropped my 16-year-old daughter, Daisy, off at high school in Berkeley, then headed to the airport. I was supposed to give 3 talks in Los Angeles over the next couple of days, at a preschool, a high school, and a college, then fly to New York for a network TV appearance. Ever the modern working mom, I had organized the trip to be home in time for Daisy's swim meet on Friday. But I was growing increasingly uneasy, thinking about all the people who would have touched the airplane seats, tray tables, and armrests. This was when we still believed COVID was transmitted through physical contact. I thought about the myriad surfaces in the hotel rooms, the restaurants where cooks and servers would touch my food, plates, cups, flatware, the pen they'd give me to sign the check. I thought about everyone who'd want to shake my hand at the events, or hug, or ask me to autograph a book they'd been holding with their bare fingers. All of these things, things I normally wouldn't have noticed, some that I actively enjoyed, made my breath come short and my chest tighten. Even as I tried to convince myself that it was fine, that I was being ridiculous, I pulled off the freeway to turn around. My plane was leaving in less than 2 hours. I would not be on it. "But we'll have hand sanitizer at the event," one host wailed when I phoned in my apologies. We all know what happened next. Within 48 hours, the students at the college I was booked at were sent home. By Thursday, Daisy's swim meet was called off, as was that weekend's SAT. It would be canceled 6 more times in the coming months. She never...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?